Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. At first blush, the combination of sounds in Zakir Hussain's Pulse of the World band might seem unlikely. Hussain is a master of the tabla, an Indian percussion instrument, winning Grammys and accolades from a variety of sources and collaborating with everyone from Yo-Yo Ma to Bela Fleck.
But most recently, Hussain's interests grew to include music from the Celtic traditions. We'll also hear it Friday night at the Pabst Theater when the band kicks off its U.S. tour here. I reached Hussain at his home in California. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so very much, Bonnie. I'm really looking forward to coming there.
Your Pulse of the World band is this wonderful collection of Indian musicians and Celtic musicians from various parts of the Celtic countries. Mm-hmm. How did this come about?
Well, in 2011, the Arts Council of Scotland asked me to go there and commissioned me to work with Indian and Celtic musicians and create a new work involving the two traditions. And so I went there and I met all the musicians who were from Glasgow, Edinburgh, Ireland, and I brought my Indian musicians with me there. And after many hours of beer drinking and chatting away and pubbing and stomping and playing some music, we came up with a whole bunch of music, which actually was a concoction of similar melodies that existed in both traditions, Indian and Celtic. So the music actually reflects both, but appears as one. It's not like, okay, we're going to play you an Indian tune and then we're going to play you a Celtic tune. No, it's actually both the tunes appearing as one. So you get a great, you know, a vision of how those two music at one time must have had, you know, some kind of same root from where they emerged. And so that's what you're going to be hearing. I got together with these musicians and found out that the bagpipes, for instance, or the whistles or the flutes or the fiddles, they were part of the British Army in the northern provinces of India, and the pipes were then taken by the Indian soldiers who were drafted in the British Army in playing marching band music, and they were using local instruments like the shanai, which sounds so much like the bagpipe. And so that music then developed in the western coastal region of India, especially in the state of Maharashtra, and found its own voice, which was, again, a combination of Maharashtrian fishermen's music, the Rajasthani folk music, the Punjabi dholes, and all those coming together with the shanai, which is an Indian instrument, and the drone-like pipes. And then this very interesting folk music emerged. And so when I came to Scotland, I brought that idea in my head over there and listened to some of the melodic modes, which were similar to Indian ragas, and found tunes or songs that sounded like Indian songs and meshed them together to create this piece of music that we performed in 2011 in Glasgow. And then it was a big success, so the UK Arts Council asked us to play at the pre-Olympic concerts in England. And so after that was done, I was like, why should this die here after two or three shows? Let's develop. So now I took it to India this winter for a little small tour in preparation for our U.S. tour. And now here we come.
I'm fascinated with the idea that there are musical, there's like a musical root from which these two very distinct traditions came from, that you know, you can trace it back musically and find that there are things in common, that it's not just an overlay of one thing onto another just to see what happens, that there's actually something there that at one point this was one thing.
Oh, absolutely was. I mean, look at when you listen to the pipes and they have the drone, you know, chamber that holds the drone while the melody is played on it at the same time. Now, when you listen to the Chennai players in India, the main Chennai player, the lead player, plays all the leads and improvises and everything, while he has four Chennai players sitting in the back playing different sizes of Chennai, the bass Chennai, the mid Chennai, the high ones, holding the drone, just like the pipe would. So he has one melody player and a drone holding. In the Celts tradition, similarly, one melody player and the drone holding of the same tones in the western coastal regions of India. So there's that commonality. Also, at the same time, in Celtic music, you could have an orchestra play the song, or you could have just a whistle player play the same song alone. In Indian tradition, it's very common to have one flute player play a whole concert all by himself. And so that idea of an instrument being able to hold its own alone or in an orchestral arrangement is also a common thing in both the tradition. Then comes the rhythms. There are rhythmic elements in the bodhran where you hold the, not only just hold the rhythm, but you also accent the certain salient points of a song, therefore creating a visual graph of how the patterns of the songs are emerging. Similarly, when you go down to listen to a dhol player in Punjab or the tabla player, they do the same thing. They are not only holding the rhythm, but they are also at the same time giving a special view of how the melody and rhythmically progresses and the high points of it, the salient features of it, and at the same time applying a little of their improv techniques to create more spontaneous moment. It's the same in the bodhran playing in the Celts and the same in North Indian drumming. So all these elements, when we all got together, it was basically, so easy to just get these people in the room and just let them loose and find, their common grounds together. I really didn't have much to do. In fact, at the end of 7 days, we had a two-hour show. Not just one little piece or two little pieces. We actually had a two-hour show. There was so much that emerged from that interaction.
Well, and speaking of bodhran players, Jonjo Kelly is probably one of the best in the world that you have touring with you. And a good friend of mine in Scotland says that listening to him is like listening to him. He's playing the melody on the bodhran. It's not just a rhythmic thing. It actually becomes melodic.
That instrument that he has, and he has done some extensive research in the way the instrument is shaped and how deep it needs to sound and how loose the skin needs to be and all that. And then he's also found different shapes and sizes of sticks, brushes, hand technique, all those things he has developed. I mean, he's a bodhran player like no other. I mean, he's in some ways setting the bar really high for everyone else to follow. And I'm delighted that he is with us and is a kind of musician who not only can hold the time, but improvise in a way that I myself find interacting with him so much easier. It's like playing with any other tabla player or folk drummer in India. It's, it's very much like sitting with a rhythm brother who knows exactly where I grew up and what I'm all about.
You're having a conversation.
Absolutely. That brings me to the Brittany guy or Breton, Jean-Michel Vion, who's the French element in our band. I mean, the Celtic music developed in various places. And this Brittany area was one of the areas where it thrived. And so Jean-Michel has that Breton element and that language as of speaking melody through his flute is so different than just hearing a whistle player from Ireland or Scotland.
Things that is so interesting about this collaboration that you have is that it's similar yet different from other types of fusion. I'm thinking of Afro-Celt Sound System, which is one of my favorite bands in the world. And, you know, between the rhythms and the way they meld that West African and Celtic sounds is like nothing else. And then when I listened to your music, I felt exactly the same way. Like I was opening myself up, my ears up to an aural world that I had no idea existed.
Well, the thing about Celtic music is that it's so warm and so accommodating. It's one of the greatest host music to plug into, to be able to find ways to have other musical genres come in and visit and guest. It's got harmony, it's got counterpoints, it's got melody, it can be modal, and at the same time create a four-part harmony of the same song, and that allows Indian music, which is modal music, to find its way in it. It allows African music, again, which is modal and very rhythmic, to find its way in it, and at the same time can sit in with the classical music and traditional folk music of any part of the world, any country, and be right at home in this form of music. It has that simple table laid out, which allows a great smorgasbord to develop.
You said when you first sat down with this group of musicians in the room and you started experimenting and seeing what happened, and you had some tunes in mind. Have you written your own things now that the group has been around for a while and you're used to playing together?
Yes, we have come up with three or four different tunes that weren't part of the original repertoire. And these tunes involve, obviously, the common experience that we shared when we played together a couple of years ago. We sent back and forth melodic ideas and harmonic ideas and kind of came together with some pieces that we felt were best representing our, you know, combo the way it is. I have to say that, you know, I cannot take credit for being the source provider of tunes or songs to this. Everyone in the band contributed, and that's what makes it special, because I, even though I'm, you know, familiar with the Celtic music, I'm not as deeply involved in where it came from, what it represents, and the reverence of it, and the respect needed to be given to it as an art form. I need somebody to tell me that, and to be able to have musicians from that part of the world come in and speak freely over a glass of beer and talk about their traditions, talk about their songs. Took me back to my childhood days when my father used to sit with me at 3 o'clock in the morning when the rest of the world slept and talk to me about our tradition and about our music and about our great masters and the divine influence into the tradition and so on, and talk of the musical heroes and how the songs emerged, describing the great warrior Arjuna and so on, and Lord Krishna and everything. And so when I sit down with the Celts and they talk about their tradition and about their heroes, their great characters that the songs represent, And the kind of reverence and respect you hear in their voices, it actually teaches me much more about the culture than I would ever learn by just listening to the music. So their input as the fellow contributors to this band and a band's repertoire has been really invaluable, and I'm glad that that's come about.
Zakir Hussain's Pulse of the World Band kicks off its U.S. tour in Milwaukee Friday night at Milwaukee's Pabst Theater. We reached him in California, and you can learn more about him and his music from links at WUWM.com.
Writer James Anderson kicks off his U.S. book tour in Milwaukee tonight. We'll meet him when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.